key things that he uses against us, the things that we need to be mindful of and watching out for, are things like deception. When he tries to deceive us with bad teaching or with bad theology, whatever the case would be, deceiving us into moving towards sin or doing this or doing that. Temptation, that's one we're all familiar with, right? Being tempted into this or tempted to do this that would lead us into sin. And then accusation, one of the ploys of the enemy where he'll bring things from our past and accuse us of all kinds of things. Those are the things that we talked about and how that God overcomes those things as we realize there's a spiritual battle going on around us. We learn to come against those tools by taking our thoughts captive, something that we need to be reminded about often, don't we? To take our thoughts captive. We take our thoughts captive and we bring them in line with Jesus and what the Bible teaches through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. It's through the power of the Spirit that we take our thoughts captive and we bring them in line with Jesus. So this week, we're digging into what God has given us in the battle. So we've talked about the battle. We've talked about the fact that you have to be aware that there's a spiritual battle going on around us to be engaged in the battle, right? So we first have to recognize that. We know that there are tools, but we also have to recognize this morning that God has given us tools in this battle and that we can use them every day and they can help us to overcome the weapons that are formed against each of us in every one of us. And I'm talking about the armor of God. And so as we continue here in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to dig into and look at the armor of God a little closer. And I want to invite you this morning, open your Bibles with me again to Ephesians chapter 6 as we look at this together in verse 10 and on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and on. And we're going to see that up on the screen in just a few minutes. But the reality exists. The reality exists this morning that the enemy does not rest. The enemy doesn't have a day off. He doesn't take holidays. He searches for ways to take us away from following God constantly. That's what he does, both as a church and individually. Well, thank God that Jesus is with us. He goes before us. He is our rock. He is our salvation. And in all of that that comes our way, we can call on him and when we're in need and when temptations come. And he promises to save those who call on his name. Do you know that this morning? Do you remember that this morning? If you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. You will be saved. That's something that we just even need to be reminded about from time to time, that we need to call on the name of Jesus. Psalm 73, verse 26 says this, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So again, let's look together at Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. This is what it says. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Would you say that we are living in the time of evil? Amen. We are living in the time of evil. So therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. It continues on. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. This morning, I just feel so strongly that God is reminding us to stay alert in the midst of life's challenges. To remember that there is this constant battle going on in the spiritual realm. In fact, if we could see in the spiritual realm right now, I think it would be quite wild. I think there would be things going on all around us right now in the spiritual realm that we would be totally blown away by. And so I thank God that we don't see those things in the physical, but that we can walk by faith, again, trusting that there are angels, that God is at work, there are things that are going on around us. Amen? We are all walking through challenges at different times of our life, are we not? I've talked to just a few people, even this morning, and they've shared a little bit about some of the struggles, some of the challenges, some of the battles that have been going on, even over this last week. It's not a coincidence that when you're talking about spiritual warfare in the church, that there's spiritual warfare going on, and sometimes it intensifies. So I encourage you again this morning, whether you're taking pictures and snapping slides with your phone, or you're underlining things in your Bible, or you're writing things down in your notes, pay attention to what God's saying to you and apply it in your battle. Apply it in the battle that you may be in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you allow us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we thank you that you provide for us this armor, Lord, that we can wear, this shield of faith, this sword of the Spirit that we can walk with, Lord, in the midst of the battle. And Father, the reality is that when we fight the battle in our own strength, we will fail and we will fall because we're not armored. We may think we are, we may think that we've got the strength in ourselves to do what we can do. And the reality is, Lord, that we need you. And you are within us, but Lord, you also give us this armor to walk with. And God, we realize it's not this physical stuff that we have to somehow find and then, you know, physically put it all on. But we speak this, we believe this, we walk in this, Lord. And this morning, as we dig in and realize and understand what all these things mean, Father, help us to apply these things in our life daily in our prayer time. Lord, as we would awake in the morning, as our feet would touch the ground, we would say, Jesus, I need you. I need to walk in truth today. I need your word in my hand as a sword, because it'll be able to cut through and speak through to so many issues today that I don't even know are coming. And so, Father, we pray and we ask you, Lord, to speak today. And Lord, for those that are in the midst of the battle this morning, those that are embroiled in the spiritual warfare right now, Father, we pray for victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you, God, would have your way in the midst of that battle as we submit ourselves to you, as we give the battle over to you, Jesus. That you go before us, that you fight the battle, that there's victory in Jesus. The battle's already won. And we just put our faith and our trust in you, Lord, in the midst of the challenges that we may be dealing with. We give it to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, as believers, we know that when we try to walk our faith out in Jesus in our own strength, that we eventually fall, we can fail, we can burn out. And so, the ploy of the enemy that says, hey, the deception of the enemy that says, no, you're good, you can do this on your own strength. Come on, how many of you ever done that? I can do this on my own strength. I'm all things, I can do it on my own strength. No, Jesus says, no, put your trust and faith in me. Put your trust and faith in me. And see, this is sometimes really hard for us to grasp. Why is it that we so many times in our culture want to walk our faith out just on our own strength and put our trust sometimes more in ourselves than we do in Jesus? Well, there's a reason to this. There's a reason why this happens. Because we're human beings. Surprise. We're human beings. You see, we are raised in a culture that promotes independence and self-reliance as the height of success. That if you can be completely independent, independently wealthy, independently, you know, you work for yourself, you don't have anybody you work for, that is the height of success. That if you've got a fat bank account and you're not accountable to anybody, that is the height of success. Would you agree? That's what our culture says, though, don't they? That's what they preach, don't they? You see, the idea of always relying on someone else for our strength is totally countercultural. It's countercultural. When we say that we rely on Jesus Christ for our daily bread, that is countercultural. Do you know the shame that is put on people in the physical when they have to go to food banks? Yet we say, Jesus, we're relying on you for our daily bread. See, the culture is counter to what Jesus says. So we follow Jesus. We live for Jesus. We rely on Jesus. He is our strength in this culture. Amen? You see, the idea and this philosophy of the power of self is this brilliant ploy and this deception of the enemy that ultimately keeps people focused on who? Themselves. It keeps people focused on themselves, always striving and always exhausted. Somebody say amen to that. Come on. I mean, how many people do you know? They are striving and striving and they are exhausted. They may be sucking back the espressos and the coffee and doing this and doing that. And they're going out and they're partying because, you know, they are striving. They want to play hard. They want to work hard. They want to play hard. But they're exhausted. They might not look it necessarily physically, but they're exhausted spiritually. And maybe they're exhausted emotionally. You see, when we take this whole idea of self-confidence and we take that so far, it becomes idolatry. Because we're worshiping our own sense of being able to do it all on our own. Ultimately, our confidence as followers of Jesus is to be found in Him and Him alone. Now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any kind of confidence in yourself. No, listen to me carefully. We need to be confident in who we are. But we need to understand that knowing and following Jesus gives us the healthy identity of self that we need. If we follow ourselves, we are destined, I can guarantee you, destined to get lost and confused along the way. Remember that Jesus is the rock of our salvation. If you take away anything with you this morning, if you walk away from this morning taking away anything, I pray that you would be encouraged today as a church to trust Jesus to be your strength in the spiritual battle and for your identity to be found in Him fully. That you would discover your identity, that you would discover His strength in His word, that you would discover it in His word, that you would declare it with your words, and that you would demonstrate it with your actions. Let me say that again. I want you to discover it in His word. I want you to declare it with your words. And I want you to demonstrate it with your actions. That is what happens when you put all of your trust, all your faith, when you find all of your identity in Christ and in Christ alone. So if that's the only thing you take away this morning, take that with you. Psalm 18 verse 2 reminds us that the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me and my place of safety. You will not find safety in anything else that lasts. You will not find protection in anything else that will last. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 26 says this, "You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or of the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." You see, Jesus is our security. He is our fortress. He is our shield. And if we're going to press into the battle, to successfully win the battle, we must know where our strength comes from. And we need to be reminded about where our strength comes from. See, at the beginning of our text that we were looking at this morning, and again, if you're following along in your Bible, just follow along. In verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It is not our own strength that will allow us to overcome the plans and the schemes and the strategies of the enemy. It's not our own plans. It is only by the mighty power of God. And how do we allow them? How do we work that mighty power of God in and through our lives? It's by walking in Him, by walking in the Spirit, by walking by faith and not by sight. I hope you're following me here. It's only by the mighty power of God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 states this. You may want to circle this. You might want to underline this. Again, take a picture of this truth today to remind yourself over this next week. Here's what it says. "But those who trust in the Lord," and I underlined "those who trust in the Lord" in my notes. You can underline that in your notes. You can underline that in your Bible. "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." God's word is clear. I heard that shudder. That's good. Somebody took a picture. Come on. God's word is clear. God's word is clear. Those who trust in the Lord will find strength. Those who trust in the Lord will find strength. So we don't read the fall. We don't read this. We don't read that you might find strength. We don't read that you maybe are going to find strength. No, we read that God's word says you will find strength. So be encouraged this morning that you will find strength. You will find strength. Psalm 28, verse 7 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One Bible commentator writes this, "In the Christian life, we battle against rulers and authorities, the powerful evil forces of fallen angels headed by Satan, who is a vicious fighter. To withstand their attacks, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor." You see, being battle ready, I talked about this last Sunday, to be battle ready means that you put on every part of the armor, every piece of the armor, you put it on. I don't know who Pete is, doesn't matter. You carefully assemble your armor. How many of you have ever watched a movie? This is not my notes, I'm going to throw this in really quick. I got to move quick. How many of you have ever seen the movie Iron Man? You've ever watched any of those movies? You ever watch how Iron Man's armor, you know, it's really cool. I mean, it's fun. It actually kind of evolves over the years because he's been like, I think the first Iron Man movie came out like over 10 years ago, 2008. And you see him kind of developing this armor, and he's this guy, it's made of iron, and he gets more and more incredible, and it kind of assembles. And the last piece, of course, because it's a movie, is the face piece, right? It's, oh, everything else is cool, and it pops onto his face, and wow, he's got this armor, and he's impervious. I mean, amazingly impervious to all kinds of things. I mean, you know, I'm sure that if in those movies, if they were going on in a weird, you know, format every single time and they were missing parts of the armor, it wouldn't work, would it? If they forgot to put the back piece on or it was missing the front piece or, you know, one of the leg pieces was missing, he can't fly, he can't do anything. Listen, you can't just put the armor of God together willy-nilly and go, oh, I'm good with that, I don't need that. It's not going to work. You're going to leave yourself open and vulnerable to attack. You see, the armor has to all fit together if it's going to be effective. And if it's not, then it loses its integrity. You following me? And if that happens, it can't withstand the attack of the enemy. Listen, in verse 13, we read this, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm." You see, we can't just put on one or two pieces of the armor. What good is it for a soldier to only have half of the gear on that they need for combat? Totally useless. How long are they going to last? So we must put on all of the armor every day, and let's take the rest of our time together this morning, which is not long, to look at all of this. So let's go through this quickly. Verse 14, "Let us stand firm," tells us to stand firm, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Truth is first for a reason. Truth is first for a reason. God's word is truth, all of it. It's the foundation of our faith. And we need to know God's word to know what is true. It's been said that Satan fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like truth, but only believers have God's truth, which can defeat Satan's lies. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said this about truth, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The Bible is full of truth, but you have to get into your Bible like you would a good meal. You know, when you have a good meal in front of you that smells good and it looks good, you enjoy that meal. You get into that meal. You don't just kind of pick away at it and think, oh, this is nice. Whatever. You know, it's a good meal. You get into it. We need to get into God's word like that, like a good meal. There are different things that you can do here this morning, and obviously reading your Bible is really key. Having a Bible reading plan is really, really great to use. I know some of you use that. Some of you maybe have a harder time reading. Find it online. You can listen to the Bible. There are so many tools, so many things that are available to you to learn God's Word. We have an online library with over 15,000 resources that are available to you that's free to you to use. Called Right Now Media. There are so many ways that you can get the truth of God into your life. There's no reason, there's no excuse. You can do it. I know you can. I know you can. So that's the truth. Then it is the body armor of God's righteousness. In the NIV, it's called the breastplate. Maybe you're going, body armor? I don't remember reading anything about body armor in the Bible. Well, it's a different version. But it's called the breastplate in the NIV. And this piece covers our hearts. One author writes this, Satan often attacks our hearts, the seat of our emotions, self-worth, and trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our hearts and ensures his approval. He approves us because he loves us and sent his son to die for us. This is how we defeat the tool of accusations that the enemy uses to attack our hearts. Because usually those accusations that come, they attack the heart. We defeat this by having on that breastplate, having on that body armor. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. You see, righteousness is our character. It's how we model Jesus in our lives. We need this body armor, this breastplate on. Our emotions are a crucial part of who we are. They're not bad things. They're good things when we employ them and we direct them in the direction God wants us to. How many times can you think back maybe over the past week or beyond that where your emotions got the best of you? Your emotions just got the best of you. I don't know, there are numerous times I could think back, but you found yourself having a really hard time allowing the light of God to shine in you because your emotions got the best of you. We need to put on that breastplate of righteousness, that body armor of God. Then we go to what we have when we cover our hearts. We then go to what we have when we cover our hearts with God's truth. Verse 15 speaks of the peace that comes from the good news of the message of Jesus. You see, there's a peace that comes from knowing that Jesus came to set us free from the bonds of sin and death. Just like the shoes that we wore to get here this morning. Most of you all wore shoes, right? Yeah, most of you have shoes on. That's good. Yeah, you put something on your feet. You see, this peace that comes from the good news is what we walk on as we go forward. It gets very specifically, it says for shoes, you have to have this peace. You walk in peace. There's a reference here to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, where we read this, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger. Like it doesn't say how beautiful on the mountains are the voice or the hands or the hair. Unless you have a haircut style like Marvin or Glenn, which is a nice style, by the way. But it doesn't say that. It says the feet of the messenger who brings the good news. And it says the good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. Do you know that even from Isaiah to today, he reigns? He reigns. He reigns. We are bringing the good news, the peace and the shalom of God in, and that's an action. We are the action in this world and in this community through Christ. You see, our enemy wants us to think that telling others about Jesus is a worthless and hopeless task. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to think that the task is way too big and the inevitable difficult responses are going to be just too much to handle. You ever done that? You thought, I'm going to share Jesus with that person. Then all of a sudden you get this thought in your mind that says, whoa, they're going to say something bad. They're going to say something negative. They're not going to receive this. You haven't even said a word yet. This is just in your mind. And so something the Lord was leading you in, immediately the enemy comes in with a deception, with a temptation or an accusation and says, No, you better not, because it's going to be too much to handle. It's going to be too much. But the shoes of peace God gives us, the peace that you and I can have in knowing and trusting and following Jesus, this is the motivation to go and tell people about the true peace that can only be found through Jesus. It's the peace of knowing Christ. It's the peace of knowing that I walk with the Lord, that there's peace in that. That I can go and I can share the good news with someone regardless of what they may or may not say. It's the peace of God. I know the Lord. The Lord wants to know you. And that's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to share that good news with you. You follow me? Next, we are to hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. A shield, the shield is primarily this defensive weapon. Without a shield, we're defenseless. You see, the enemy attacks us in the forms of insults and setbacks and temptations and accusations, but the shield of faith protects us from the enemy's arrows. And you see, with God's perspective, we can see past our circumstances and know that we have the victory. So let me ask you this morning, what are the arrows that the enemy's been firing at you lately? What are the arrows that he's been firing at you lately? What are the things that you're wrestling with? What are the things that you're struggling with? This morning, if you've been trying to deal with these things on your own, I'm going to just ask you to stop. And I'm going to ask you to seek the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stop trying to deal with those things on your own and in your own strength and seek the Lord. And I want you to invite God to speak into the battle. I want you to invite him in and say, God, I've been maybe fighting this battle on my own. I need you to come in. I need you to speak into this in a powerful way. I want to invite you to surrender to him and to let people into your life, into your walk with God, to pray with you and to support you and to be an encouragement to you. That's, again, what it means to be part of a family. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5 says this, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And we can win this battle against, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Next, put on salvation as your helmet. Protect your mind. Protect your mind. You see, like the heart with our emotions, our mind holds our thoughts. At least for most of us. You see, the helmet protects our head. Without our head on our shoulders, none of the other parts of the armor are going to do us any good, right? Have you seen too many headless people running around lately? I hope not. I really hope not. Because it doesn't work well. The rest of the body doesn't work well without that head, right? And so you can have all the armor on and you leave your head unprotected. It's not a good thing. You have to have that helmet on your head and protect your mind, protect your thoughts. Paul is suggesting that the hope of our salvation is the most important weapon for any Christian. Let me say that one more time. Paul is suggesting that the hope of our salvation is the most important weapon for any Christian. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation." Friends, are you confident in your salvation today? Be confident in your salvation, and in that confidence, you'll have a clear-headedness. You see, the enemy wants, again, to make us doubt God, to doubt Jesus, and to doubt our salvation. Knowing that we have salvation through Jesus protects our minds from doubting God's saving work in us. You see, the thing that goes through our minds needs to be brought into line with Jesus. Temptations go through our minds regularly, but temptations, again, don't become sin until we act on them. But if we think that allowing thoughts to go unchecked will not be a problem, then we're wrong. We have to bring our thoughts into line with Christ, take them captive. We have to take command over our very thoughts so that we don't allow our thoughts to influence our actions. Pray over your thoughts. Pray over your dreams. Finally, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, being battle ready again requires that we have something to fight back with, a sword. Because even with a shield and even with armor on, the enemy can just keep attacking until that shield and that armor give way. So you have to have something. The sword is the only weapon of offense in the list of armor. Here. It's the only thing that's an offensive weapon. So this is also last for a reason. Just like the belt of truth was first, it was, and that's God's word. The belt, again, holds everything in place. It's the foundation. The sword is last. And again, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I have a sword in my office my brother gave me many, many years ago for my birthday. It's a samurai sword, a katana. It's very, very sharp. And God's word is so sharp. It's sharper than all of that. It not only just cuts, between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It's incredibly powerful. But yet so many times we just look at it as something to soothe us when we're feeling hurt in our heart, or, I'm ailing and I'm having stomach problems. I'll just take God's word and soothe my stomach right now. Or I'm having issues with some of my mind. I'm just going to, God's word is much more powerful than that. God's word is not a vitamin that you take just so you can build up your immunity. God's word is a sword. It's what we use in the midst of the battle. You see, it is the living word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts, sometimes through a sermon that speaks directly to your need for today. I'm going to invite Doug and the worship team to just come and join me as we conclude this morning. And if you would stand with me, I want to invite you to stand with me this morning if you're able to. Paul concludes the next verses of chapter 6 with a call to prayer. I'm going to read that for you. This is what it says. Right after he talks about being alert and persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere, he says this. He says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Then he says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain God's secret plan that the good news is for the Gentiles too. I'm in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. As I should. You see, Paul encourages us to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every single occasion, to be alert and to be persistent in our prayers for all believers everywhere. Prayer is essential in the spiritual battle because prayer has no limits. Do you have a limit to what you can do? Prayer has no limits. Prayer has no limits. It has been said that the enemy tries to limit your prayers because he knows your praying will limit him. But we can't outpray God. Our faith comes into action and we can pray for believers on the other side of the planet and trust that God hears. You know, prayer times are an essential element of everything that we do in our small group gatherings throughout the week. On Thursday mornings at 9 a.m., there's prayer here. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., there's prayer right here. Prayer is an essential element. It's an essential part of what we do. And I want to encourage you to be engaged in prayer on your own and with the family of God. You know, your family relationship gets stronger as you pray together. I can guarantee you that Kathy and Pat, as they pray together on Thursday mornings and others, those that come over that as you pray together in your men's group or your women's group, your relationship is being strengthened through prayer. So if you want to have a stronger walk with Jesus, you want to have a stronger walk with your brother or your sister in the room, pray together. Pray with one another. Encourage one another. Believe that there's no limits. There's nothing that's too impossible for God to deal with. So it's time to gather the people of God, to be strengthened, to walk together in prayer every day, to put on the armor of God that so we will be battle ready. Thank God today because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning, and I'm going to invite a few people. Pastor Glenn's going to be in the back corner of the room. A few others will be in the back corner here, Kathy and Pat, and a few others who would like to just pray with those who might need prayer this morning. I would just invite you to the back corners of the room. Doug's going to lead us in a song, and I want to pray with you this morning. If you're in the middle of the battle, if you've been perhaps wrestling and fighting this thing on your own strength, can I just invite you again, surrender that to the Lord. And if you would love for someone to pray with you, you can do that. You can walk to the back corner right now in just a moment, and you can receive prayer, and God will speak into that. And just walk in faith and believe and trust that the Lord is working these things out in you. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to just go ahead and either just pray right where you are, worship the Lord, or just head back for some prayer right now. Father, we thank you this morning, God, that the victory is in you, Jesus. The victory is in you. And that there's nothing that can hold us back, God, from your love and your power working in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here today. And that as we've been worshiping you, as we've been hearing from your word, as even now we spend time together in prayer, Father, that you're going to do something miraculous. You're going to do something powerful in us. Because we're submitting ourselves to you. We are walking by faith and not by sight. We are giving you every battle. We're giving you every challenge. We are submitting to you and committing ourselves to you. So Lord, we just pray this morning as we would go from this place, God, would we go knowing that we can be battle ready, we can have the armor of God on, that we can walk again, knowing in this life, in all the challenges, that God, you are good, that you will lead us into the things that you have for us. And even through the valleys, even through the dangerous things, even through the hard things, God, that we can put you first and that your righteousness can be seen in us as we say, yes, Jesus, I want to put you first in everything. So Lord, we just commit ourselves to you today. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, they've never made a commitment to follow you, they don't have a relationship with you, Lord, that you would open their eyes to the reality of who you are. And God, that they would realize that they don't need to live this life and walk this life on their own. That there's a God that loves them. That there's Jesus who died for them and wants to have this relationship with them today. That they can be saved and set free from all the things that may be holding them down. And that they won't be alone anymore. And so, Father, we pray that today would be the day that the eyes of the heart and the mind, the eyes and the spirit would be opened for those folks. God, that they would come to know you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for this week ahead, for all the challenges that you have prepared for us, Lord, and how we'll put you first, how we'll put our faith and our walk in your hands and our life in your hands. We thank you, God, that you'll never let us down. We trust you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.